You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by Megan and AJ, as we are the day after the Avs Game 3 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Going through all the game again, looking at all the sides of this, for one way or another, at very least, there's been no supplemental discipline for Devon Taves after the game. I mean, it is what it is. That's some of the news of the day, all right? Not that there should have been, but, you know, some people on the Tampa side were pretty upset about a very legal hit. So, it is what it is. On the other side, same kind of situation for the most part with the injuries, but we've talked about Kadri quite a bit. I know, AJ, you're expecting him to play in game four. Megan, how do you feel about it?
I'm expecting him to play in game four. I even have the feeling that he could have played in game three, but there wasn't this sense of urgency that would require him to play, and what this has all been leading up to is a game four appearance.
All right. Obviously, would have significant implications on the way the Avs line up. The other conversation here is Andrei Burakovsky. Do we know anything more about him at this point other than he flew back to the team, maybe?
He's not even with the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not even with the team. They said that he's getting additional treatment. I don't know what that means. Is he getting like a hand massage? Like, what's going on here?
Sure.
Did he have hand surgery? Like, what's? I don't know. I have no idea what additional treatment is. It's like you getting a mani pedi. Is it mani pedi day for Berkey? Because if it is, I'm really jealous. Mani pedi days are awesome.
Sometimes you just need one. And if he's getting a mani pedi, it probably bodes well for him being back. But you know. That also could be they're chopping his hand off, for all I know. So, in the playoffs, both of those things are very much on the table when he's getting additional treatment. You'll never really know for sure.
Yeah.
here's where I want to start today. Does Kadri in the lineup, and we'll get to the lineup effects of this down the lineup in a minute. I want to talk about specifically Kadri alone here. Does he help fix some of the errors we saw from Colorado last night?
I think, it depends if he's playing center or wing. Because if he's playing wing, not really. Because that leaves Compher still in the middle of the ice, and that leaves him in sort of an unfamiliar position. Because it's not like he plays a lot of wing. Not that I don't want to make this out to be like, it's so hard to go from center to wing and like you don't know where you are, but like there is an adjustment there, and there are some guys who do it better than others, and we've seen Kadri in his tenure in Colorado he has struggled at times when moved to the wall and been at his best in the middle. So I think in the middle of the ice, if he's playing center and he's just not taking faceoffs, I would say yes. It goes to address some of the issues that we saw last night. It doesn't necessarily fix all of them. It doesn't fix Devon Taves throwing pucks at random guys and then not taking guys in the middle of the ice on defense. But it helps with some of the forward rotation issues that we saw. Ultimately, there were so many breakdowns from different guys, though. I mean, you have the entire second line. Confer, Lekkonen, Rantanen. Each one of those guys is involved in a major defensive breakdown.
Yep.
So, Kadri alone doesn't just fix all those guys, you know? He comes back in, he can handle his own, but these guys are all much better than we saw them play last night, that Kadri doesn't have to fix them. Those guys just have to show up and be a better version of what they were yesterday. And we've seen it so often. I'm not that worried about it, especially from a guy like Lekkonen, who's just been aces since he got to Colorado. But him having a bad game, you're just kind of like, okay, well, I guess that just means he's due.
How actively do the Avs need to correct some of these issues? Because I definitely think you can look at last night and certainly some of the plays. Look, it's not that often that Devon Taves throws a puck to nobody in the offensive zone. That's something I think you just expect will be better.
It's not often that Devon Taves and Cale Makar on the same night are brutally bad defensively.
Yep.
They have their nights where they each struggle, but they don't usually pick the same night.
On the other side of that coin, you're talking about Kadri getting back into the lineup. We saw some of the handoffs defensively last night just weren't good enough. Oh. And yes, part of that may be players playing in unfamiliar positions, but how easy is that to fix in practice, or how easy is that to fix on a player-by-player basis?
I mean, considering they've done it all year long and this hasn't been a persistent problem, I would say it's not that hard to fix. The guys just have to wear it. They have to accept the responsibility. They own last night. They own that loss. They own that score forever. And the same way that Tampa Bay can't undo the 7-0 embarrassment in Denver, the Avs can't undo it. Now, if they go back, they get back to work, they refocus, and they go out and they win game four, and they ultimately win the Stanley Cup, then we don't give a shit about last night. We don't ever think about it again.
True enough.
So I think that's the easy thing to say that fixes it. You refocus, you get back to the details, and you're good.
I'm going to have to hop off in just a second. Yeah. But I didn't want to not say anything and just exit the show.
Bye.
And I also wanted to chime in just a little bit, too, before I exit the show. And I think it's kind of reiterating a lot of what AJ is already saying, but it's not a hard fix, but it's only easy enough if they do mentally reset. It's not even something that they necessarily work on in practice, because it's just a mental lapse that happened team-wide over the course of 60 minutes. And so that just requires a mental reset and going back to the basics. And some of that is made easier with familiarity. And so if some of the blended lines of game three can regain familiarity with Kadri coming back into the lineup and that trickling down, like maybe that fourth line does get reunited with Kadri back in the lineup somehow and restore some of the familiarity back, maybe that helps a little bit of the chemistry and cohesion that was just missing and allowing some of these mental lapses in game three. So Kadri returning is not the answer, but it could be a part of the solution, because it came down to team-wide execution in the end. And that's what it's going to be in game four anyways.
Love the answer. Go ahead and hop out. You might be back later. I'll see.
Definitely back. I'll be back in like 15 minutes. I'm so sorry. I'll see you guys soon.
She's got bigger pods than us to go.
I'll be right back.
AJ, I'm going to ask you a question, and I know your answer is going to be, it takes a village, but I want at least one specific person for this answer. When you're looking at the Avs to mentally reset, who needs to be the mental leader on this team?
I think after last night, you want it to be Nate.
Okay.
because he's been so intense.
Yeah.
He's been so driven. And we saw last night that when he started to feel it a little bit, he tried to do it all on his own.
Sure.
And so I think if he can reset and he can refocus and he can say, okay, I just need to figure this out. I need to just back to the details. I need to play the game the way that I am successful. I need to be who I am. I need to not take too much onto my shoulders. And then they see, you know, the rest of the guys also do this. I just think that that will help them. I think that will help him, because we're three games into the series and Nathan MacKinnon has just sort of been part of it. I don't think he's played poorly.
But he also only has 1 point.
I think he has two.
Did he get a second one?
Well, he had the assist on Nichushkin's first goal in game one.
Oh, did they? Yeah, they're always weird with what they give credit for there. Fair enough.
I think, one or two assists is not what you thought for three games for Nathan MacKinnon.
For sure.
You know, the whole playoff Nate and blah, 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 blah. I do think, I do wonder how much the stage has worn on him a little bit. Media-wise, he's been insulated for a long time. And they've, you know, the last couple of years, it's been, he hasn't had to deal with it if he hasn't really wanted to. Like, he talks occasionally. And now, basically, since the Cup final started, every day he's in front of media. And I just wonder, I don't think it has like a massive impact, but I do wonder how much some of the outside noise is starting to creep in a little bit. Well, that's purely speculative from me, that I just wonder how much that is. But I think for the most part, I think he's been fine.
I think fine is the right word for it. And I think there are a significant number of players from the Avs. Like, obviously, game two was great. Everyone played amazing. The Avs blew them out.
Yeah, but you look at team game.
You look at games one and three, and I think a lot of the players in the Avs lineup, you can say they were fine. Not great, but fine.
Yeah, there were ups and downs.
Yep. And with Mac especially, you know, he is the guy that everyone knows is so supremely laser focused.
Yeah.
That, look, sometimes that can absolutely be a good thing. But at other times, you do almost wonder if sometimes that dude needs to take a breath, right? He's got to relax for a second, realize that, yes, he is in the Cup finals, but he's also still Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, and he can be a difference maker in the Cup final.
Yep.
And look, they got through two games without him having to be a superstar. Let's be real. Val Nichushkin isn't going off in the Cup final without Nathan MacKinnon. Oh,
absolutely.
Even Nichushkin's goal last night that got taken away.
Still created by MacKinnon, yeah.
Who has the primary assist on that goal? That doesn't count.
Yep.
So it's not like Nathan MacKinnon has been bad by any stretch. It just hasn't quite been good enough. Especially when you're talking about, hey, you're going to give this guy a blank check in 2 weeks.
Yep.
July 1st. Give this guy,
well, I guess it's July 13th now, but
you're going to give this guy a blank check, to try and get him onto, an extension, that
an 8-year deal. Yeah.
That keeps him, that makes him a Colorado Avalanche for the rest of his career.
Yep.
You would love to see in the biggest moment of his career that he
gets it done.
Yeah, that he is a driving force in that moment. And right now, I don't know that he's been quite that.
Yeah.
So just a little bit more would be nice. But really, like, you want much better from Mikko, who was really, really good in games one and two. Defensively last night, Mikko was a big mess.
Yep.
And that's, you know.
Well, and here's the thing. And I know the three-headed monster isn't playing together.
Yeah.
But when you look at those three, you have Nathan MacKinnon with two assists. You have Mikko Rantanen with seven assists. Great. The point totals are there. The production is there. But Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen are both sitting on 0 goals 3 games into the cup final.
Look, if Mikko Rantanen wants to continue to have two assists per game, that means that two other guys are scoring goals. So I'm completely okay with that part of it, but it's got to be the commitment to the details in the other end. Their games have to be complete. Now, in 3 games, they've played 2 great hockey games and one game that they just threw away.
If they keep the pattern, if they play the next 3 games, 2 more great hockey games and 1 they throw away, you feel pretty good, right?
They're Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. You feel pretty good about that as a whole when you look a little bit more at the big picture than just what have you done for me lately. So there is some certain positives to get into here as well, but we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, #1 rated sportsbook app out there. You can use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. You can go over there and bet $5 on the Stanley Cup final right now with a new account and get $100 in free bets to go bet on whatever you want. I think the game last night is a great example on maybe why you don't bet on hockey. Because crazy things happen if game 2 wasn't enough of an example of that for you. But if you want to bet on hockey, are they still taking bets on the Norris Trophy? It's not technically announced yet, so you could still potentially get it in. I don't know if they took it down or not. I haven't checked, but plenty of
weird to leave it up with just 3 guys.
Yeah, certainly odds would be much, much worse if nothing else with just 3 guys. Beyond that, though, you can go bet on whatever you want. You can bet on the result of this cup finals. You can bet on the Conn Smythe winner. You can bet on next year's teams already. I'm sure you can probably bet on some of the draft stuff. So go over there, check it all out. You can check out other sports as well, ranging from there was the pool team 9-ball world championships going on, all sorts of crazy stuff at DraftKings. So go over there. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we're also brought to you by Sexy Pizza. You can go to sexy.pizza to get yourself some delicious pizza from them. Highly recommend all of their pizzas, but, you know, AJ and I are more simple folk, fans of cheese and pepperoni pizzas. None of the crazy stuff. If you're into crazy stuff, they do have like cream cheese jalapeno and all sorts of other crazy options through their Philanthropize program. So you can check that out. When you go over there, you can use code DNVR to get 15% off your pizza order. So highly recommend Sexy Pizza. Some good, delicious stuff for you to keep you fueled for the end of this cup run. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. As we continue going through this, I want to take a look at the Avs' back end here, too. And you talked about it, Makar, Taves. It's not a stone's throw away to expect them to be better in game 4.
Yeah.
You just know that they're capable of so much better than that. But... yeah. My questions move towards the depth of the defense. Can Manson get back to form? Can EJ get back to form?
Yeah, I think, again, these are guys who had one bad night. And it was just that they all had the bad night on the same night. And I think it might have been a little quicksand effect last night where one thing starts to go wrong and then another thing goes wrong. And the next thing then you know, you're knee deep in problems. And then the next thing you know, you fast forward 5 minutes from there and you're drowning.
Yep. They compound very, very quickly sometimes.
So, and especially against really good teams like Tampa Bay, you're talking about a team that lives and breathes off of punishing mistakes. Like that's where they eat is punishing mistakes. So when you offer up freebies like they did last night, Tampa Bay is just like, okay, I guess this is just a buffet of goals for us. Nom, 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 nom.
Well, and look at the difference between game two and three, right? Game two is arguably as perfect as you can play a hockey game. The Avs make essentially no major mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they blow them out. And then game three, they make multiple seriously problematic mistakes, and they get blown out. And you look at game one, and that one ended up somewhere in the middle, which is where I think a lot of people expected this series to be, is more closely related to game one than games two and three. But it's also hard for me to see this series continue with the trading of blowouts.
Yeah.
I just don't see how these teams don't keep the rest of this series extremely competitive. With the Avs side cleaning some stuff up, on Tampa side continuing to take advantage of what they don't.
It's. I mean, if they're going to continue to trade blowouts, it's because each team is just absolutely maximizing the night where they're playing well.
Yep.
And when things aren't going their way, they're getting absolutely bodied.
Yep.
So that's the only way. Like, that's the only way that would happen.
Fair enough.
If they keep trading those balls, and it could, like the teams that we've seen, they're good enough to do it.
Of course, anything's possible.
But I think I'm good on the blowouts. I think we're gonna get. I was mildly surprised by last night's just how bad it got, because I expected Colorado to lock it in at some point and be like, oh, okay. Enough is enough here, and it just never really seemed to get that way.
Well, the game was right there, right? It's not even halfway through the second period, and the Avs get it back to 3-2. And I think everyone kind of felt, okay, here we go. Now we're going to get a hockey game. And then mistake, mistake, mistake. All of a sudden, it's 5-2 Tampa. So... And look, again, credit to Tampa Bay for capitalizing on the Avs' mistakes, too. There's two teams out there, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's so easy to see the improvements for the Avs in that game, right?
Yep.
It's just not a complicated issue where you're like, wow, Tampa did this with one thing that they really struggled with. It's like, yeah, no, it turns out if the Avs just cover their guys.
Right.
Dudes won't
makes
be
life
open.
A lot harder.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they make a great play and they still beat you, but you know, Mikko Rantanen leaving Andre Palat completely open. Steven Stamkos skating in between JT Compher and Lekkonen. Yeah. I mean, it's blah. So it's really, man, porn bots are out hard today.
Yeah, they're coming real hard today. It's crazy out here.
Anyway, do we want to talk about which goalie starts game four? Because I think we both agree it's going to be Kemper. I think Bednar agrees it's going to be Kemper.
Here's where I'm at with this conversation. We've had it a lot. Chat keeps bringing it up. It's not our favorite thing to talk about at this point, but it's going to be Darcy Kemper. Not because we think he's better. Not because someone thinks Pavel Francouz is better. It's going to be Darcy Kemper because he's the Avs dude. That's the guy the Avs went out to get to play in this situation, and they're going to stick with their dude.
I mean, if it happens again in game four, I think Pavel Francouz will start game five.
Sure,
but...
if Kemper lets in another 5, 6, 7 goals, but he hasn't done that yet. You can't punish a dude for something he hasn't done yet. And he had a game he won while giving up 3 goals. He had a shutout, and he had one game where he got 5 dropped on his head.
Yeah.
And so until he proves it in Avs' eyes.
All 5 goals within 4 feet of the net. 3 feet of the net.
Yeah. All right there. It's
tough.
So I just don't know what else to say in this conversation, because I am extremely confident that the Avs want to start him in game four, regardless of what anyone else thinks. So is what it is. Nothing really else to add on the goaltender front. Do you need better from Darcy? Absolutely. But again, he's also the dude the Avs got to start in this position. That's why they went out and gave up a first round pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to run him.
A price that he justified all year until this goofy ass playoffs. Where yep. He hasn't been, he certainly hasn't been great in the postseason. But we don't really need to get into this again. But it's easy to, there's no doubt he needs to be better
yep.
in game four.
Multiple things can be true there, right? Mm-hmm. He needs to be better and he can still be the guy. And beyond that, it's if the Avs defense is better, Kemper's probably going to look better too, right? I think a lot of the time we act like a goalie is on an island back there. And at times you do need your goalie to bail you out. But also, when your defense is playing well in front of him, it's going to make your goalie look better too. So, especially after a game like Game 3, it's really, really hard to make a significant effort to pin it on any one player. Because yeah. you're looking at that lineup saying everyone needs to be better, including Darcy Kemper, but everyone needs to play better than that. So,
yep. And they have consistently responded to this kind of adversity throughout the season. They have consistently raised their level when they've been pushed. They've lost 3 games in the postseason. Like, they've been very, very, very good this year. And this is the toughest test to date. This is the best team that they've played. This is a team that commands that respect. I think they're still better. I still think they're going to win the series. But they've got to put the work in. They've got to execute. If they don't, Tampa Bay will, and Colorado gets to be a footnote in Tampa Bay's history.
Yep. It's... At the end of the day, we can talk about this for hours on end. We can nitpick. We can do all of these things. The Avs and or Tampa have to go out there and perform, and the better team will win, ultimately.
Yeah.
And as Megan returns to the show, done with her hit on the big fancy podcasts, Megan, let me ask you this. How confident are you that the Avs will respond to this Game 3 loss? Because AJ seems pretty confident.
I have almost answered this question in different circumstances throughout the season, and I've underestimated the Avs each time, but I've seen throughout the regular season and then again throughout the playoffs that this is a team that is capable of responding, especially after a difficult loss. And so I am confident that they are going to respond at Game 4. Because of what they've been doing all season long, even when I feel nervous, I just don't think that they react the same way that I do.
They certainly haven't all the way up to this point. They didn't in their losses to St. Louis in round 2. They haven't really all year. Yeah. So I love the take there. I think it's a good one. We are brought to you by FOCO. You can go over right now. That's FOCO.com, FOCO.com, and use promo code DNVR to get 10% off your order. They have a bunch of officially licensed Avalanche merch, including bobbleheads of the 96 Joe Sakic Stanley Cup celebration, as well as more recent material, especially if the Avs do end up doing this thing. They're going to have a ton of different merch that you're probably going to want to get in on, whether it be collectibles, jerseys, all sorts of other stuff too. So go check it out. Go look at FOCO.com. Get all of the stuff that you need because they are ready and loaded for all of your Avs gear wants. Also, of course, brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it down at the DNVR bar. You can get it at your local liquor store, however you want it. You can also go to breckbrew.com and nominate a community star for a potential chance to win tickets to Game 5 in Colorado, which no matter what happens in game four, game five is going to be a crucial game in this series. So be sure to go get your chance to get some of those tickets. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Megan, I did want to get your thoughts on the defense as a whole as well. We've talked about Makar and Taves being obviously important, but how important is it for the Avs to get better games out of their depth defensemen?
It's pretty important because a lot of breakdowns happened throughout the entire D-core. Just mistakes that you don't expect a Taves and Makar to make certainly were surprising, but that definitely trickled down through each pairing. And we've seen better from them throughout the playoffs. We've seen better out of Eric Johnson. We've seen better out of Josh Manson. And so that expectation isn't rooted in nothing. And that's why I know that we can expect more from them as a whole. And we talked about it a little on the post game that it's not that Byram specifically had a bad night, but he's also been on the brink of so many scoring chances that I think that's finally going to happen to him. And how great would it be if he has the support of everyone around him in the D-core as well?
Yeah, I am curious. Who do you guys think steps up the most in the Avs depth in this series from here on out? Who is it going to be? And obviously, look, I get it. Everyone knows that the big dogs are going to have to do their thing. But is there someone you have, it doesn't have to be, you know, a serious analytical thing, just a feeling of someone that you have that might be doing something in the Avs depth?
Would you classify Arturi Lehkonen as depth, or is he still a little top sixy?
I'll allow it.
He's my answer.
Okay, I think he's going to persist then, because he has shown up at important moments, and he brings so much to the table defensively as a forward that was lacking in game three that I just think that his game has a lot of finish, but it actually does. And so Arturi Lehkonen, I'm so sorry, I'm going to leave the podcast now. That's my answer. It's Lehkonen, because he has done that in the playoffs so far.
Okay. So you're both on the Lehkonen train. Is he a depth key then? I hope so. I hope it is. I am curious to see how it all shakes out, of course. But looking at game four, is Kadri, you know, obviously we don't know about Burakovsky, so we're just not going to really be able to adjust for that. But Kadri coming into the lineup, how much better does it actually make the Avs? And this is assuming, let's just say Kadri's 80%.
It's better.
Is that, yeah. And full stop, that's enough? That's all you need to know is that it's better?
Oh, it's better because obviously even if we're assuming 80%, 70%.
Yeah.
Like, he won't be real Kadri, but he'll be
functional hockey player.
Yeah. It's better because if he can function in the top six role that you would expect to put him in, then your lineup just gets deeper because as you go down the lineup, that pushes a guy down and that makes them a little bit better. So it's Compher that moves down. Okay. Well, Compher is a guy that has regularly struggled as a top six guy, but has made his entire bones in his career as a bottom six guy. So you move him down and then you put your what's moonlighting as your third line right now. You can start to really make back into your fourth line. And we've seen as that line has had to play up, it's lost its effectiveness. It's not as good as a third line because those aren't third line guys. Those guys, Helm, Cogliano, LOC, those guys were great and they're eaten greedy against other fourth lines. They can't play up on a consistent enough basis. You know, there were games where they got through an assignment, you know, in a shift or two against a guy like Connor McDavid, but that's not their matchup. You know, like they'll, of course, the opposing coach wants to try and go after them with when he can. And last night they did so successfully. And Kadri gives Bednar more options, more flexibility to pick his spots a little more carefully. Just because, you know, it does take a village. You get that guy back, one guy drops into your lineup, just kind of changes that dynamic.
I look at game two as the blueprint for what I can expect the Avalanche to be when they are playing a dominant game. And that's a game that doesn't have Nazem Kadri, but it also has Barkovsky. He's someone we can reasonably say has not been playing at 100% for some time now, and then he gets a different type of injury in that game. And so I think that there's a couple things you could derive from that. One, that this is a team that can still be dominant without Nazem Kadri, but it also means that there's someone like Burakovsky there, looking at game two specifically. So losing Burakovsky but having Kadri back in, I'm hoping that they can return to the blueprint of game two and become significantly better just in having Kadri return to the lineup, even if he isn't 100%. Just because of we saw the impact that Burakovsky had, even at not 100%. I like what AJ says. It gives Bednar flexibility because I think the lines were just a little too blended for game three and they lost some of that familiarity.
Yeah. Look, I prevented AJ from saying it takes a village for as long as I could, but ultimately it's going to boil down to that every single time. The Avs aren't a team run by singular players. This isn't basketball where one superstar can completely dictate an entire hockey game. And that does happen occasionally, but in
those
hockey,
teams
it's
lost
really not
already.
Like yeah, exactly. You need a full four lines, you need a full three pairings, and you need your goaltender. You need everybody to show up. And at the end of the day, the Avs will take it from whoever. If it's a save from Josh Manson in the middle of the net when Kemper's out of it, the Avs will take it. If it's Darren Helm scoring a series clinching goal, the Avs will take it. It does not matter who gets the job done. It's just everyone on the team pulling in the same direction, getting things going the right way. And I do want to talk about some positives too. I feel like we've been justifiably very negative over the last 2 days, but the series is still 2-1. The Avs are still in the driver's seat. The whole reason winning both at home, why that was so important, is because if the Avs lose a game three and even a game four, which we don't know what'll happen yet, they're still in the driver's seat. They are still in control of the series.
Mm-hmm.
At worst, they get to go home with the series tied with home ice advantage.
It's just that simple. Like that's why those two games were important.
Yeah. And look, obviously every game's important. Game four is gonna matter big time on the future of this series. It's going to drastically change the way people look at the rest of it. Obviously, you have to show up every single night. But you've already shown up well enough twice. Don't take what you've accomplished already away from yourself. Focus on some of those positives, get back to what you're doing well, and trust it. At the end of the day, I don't think any of the Avs fans in chat would be here if they didn't trust it from the Avs. So.
Well, I don't know about that.
Maybe not fully, but everyone rooting for the Avs right now believes they are capable of winning two more hockey games in this series. I will put it that way. Thank you for the $2, Miss Truly. She says, home ice, ice, baby. It's been a long time since I've listened to Vanilla Ice. I'm not going to lie to you on that one. But
I'm about to have a whole ass day dedicated to why the 90s were dope.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Vanilla, how high is Vanilla Ice on that list?
He's not.
Okay.
Vanilla Ice, on that list, Vanilla Ice will peak with his appearance in the second TMNT movie. That's it. That's his contribution to my 90s experience.
You know what was nice about the 90s is I didn't have to ban 15 different porn bots on one stream. My God.
Yeah.
I think they're a good omen.
I think so too, but they're out in force. They're really trying to erase game three.
Like a- weird time of day. I don't know if they operate on any sort of schedule.
Bots got to sleep, apparently, because we haven't been getting them as much during the night stream.
That's what I'm saying.
But 2 p.m., no pun intended, but they're going hard.
All right. So they're infecting people's work computers, confirmed. All right.
Yeah.
People clock out at 5 p.m. and the porn bots disappear. That's where it's at right now. Look, I'm expecting this series to be an absolute blast from here on out. Game 4 is still in Tampa Bay. The Avs still have a lot of work to do. But how should the Avs approach this game? Obviously, it's full reset from Game 3. I get that.
New series. Approach it like it's Game 1.
Okay.
Because they're not going to have Braden Point, and you're going to, you know, if you have Nazem Kadri, you feel like that pendulum has swung back in your favor a little bit instead of losing both Kadri and Burakovsky. Feel pretty good.
Well,
you approach it like it's a whole new, so you just totally reset. You throw it all out the window. You win tomorrow. You don't worry about anything else. You win tomorrow.
Okay. So the go 1-0 theory.
I love that. And I think it's been a philosophy embraced by the team with their 5-minute focus, narrowing the game down to just winning the 5-minute battle 5 minutes at a time. I think that's true for this next game too.
Yeah. Look, it's gotten them this far, right? So why deviate from the plan there? Is there any thought to the Avs having a little bit more fun? Maybe lightening up a little bit? Taking a second to get away from the moment so they're not completely... There's a place where sometimes you get over-focused
in a situation like this. Look at Vegas at the end of the regular season, where every single game was life or death. Every single game was... you know, do or die, the most important thing in the world. You have to enjoy where you are. You have to enjoy putting the work in. And I don't think that after last night, all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're not having fun. Like, they had a great time for the first two games in Denver.
I think McKinnon's interview was great, right? After the game, even.
Last night, they got punched in the mouth. And that's it. They got punched in the mouth. Now you're in a heavyweight fight. Guess what happens in a heavyweight fight? You get punched in the mouth. Now you got to respond to it. It's on them. I don't think they're too tight. I don't think they're not having fun. I don't think they're too serious. I think they're in the sweet spot of where they should be emotionally. They just played poorly last night. And they didn't. What should hearten everybody is that Tampa Bay didn't do anything to them. Yep. Like, Colorado's biggest problems were self-inflicted. If Colorado can limit those mistakes, can survive, and then maybe get a save or two along the way, they're going to be fine.
So it's really just as easy as just play better?
Yeah. It's crazy how much pro sports come down to just be better. Just execute. You look at basketball. How often is basketball just, oh, which team made shots that night?
Yeah.
We've talked about it a little too, and some of why Game 3's loss was so disappointing is because for a moment, you know that that's not the way you'd like to see this team lose a game, just get completely complacent and shut down. But at the same time, if it had been a closer game, like Game 1 for Tampa Bay, that would leave a lot more room for improvement. That would concern me a little bit more, but I'm seeing some positives in how they lose Game 3, actually just meaning, you know what, they're better than this, they're capable of better, and it's actually that simple. I'd actually be more concerned if it were a closer game, because then they would have to come up with some more challenging solutions to their problems.
I love simple answers, so we can pretty much leave it there. Any final thoughts on Game 3, the rest of the series? Anything else you guys want to touch on?
I'm please win tomorrow. Over with. I told Enrique when I got home last night, I was like, this all sets up for the party of all parties on a Friday night in Denver.
It does.
And it would be great. Like, it would be great if, you know, there's still a lot of work to do. They still have to win two whole games here. But it's so close, man. Like, you just, I want that party on Friday. Party on Sunday is cool too. It's fine.
Yeah.
But party, please.
If they get there, they get there. Either way, you know we'll be here talking about it every single weekday and probably on the weekends as it comes down to it. So be sure to tune in here on the DNVR Avalanche YouTube channel. It's also a great time to go get a DNVR Avalanche membership. If you get an annual one, you get a free shirt along with it. So check that out. We're going to get out of here for the day. We appreciate all of y'all hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, pregame, watch along, postgame, everything coming your way. So be sure to check all of that out. But until then, we will talk to you on the next one.